the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to read all the stories because it's something that we all know very well. We know the story of how a certain man named Elimelech took his wife Naomi and two sons that he had and left the country in Judah and went down to the land of Moab. I will know the story of how the man died, his two children died, and that was after they had already married two women, Ruth, and the other one was Orpah. All right? The story of Ruth is the one we're all very familiar with, and that's the one I want to speak about again today. We're not going to read everything, like I said, because it's a story we all know very well. I just want to read a portion to emphasize something that we are already familiar with. All right? Now, let's go down to verse 6. Now, after everything had happened, like I said, Naomi decided to return back to her native country. Then she arose, verse 6, with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and had two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi sent to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each one of you to you. Her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Then he blessed them in verse 9. I'm just jumping because of time. And then, please notice that verse 11 very well. He said, "Return my daughters. Why should you go with me? What is the purpose, all right, for your going with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands?" He said, "I'm too old," in verse 12, "to have a husband. Even if I should have a husband, will he start bearing sons?" Please, I'm paraphrasing now. I'm in verse 13. "And are you going to wait till these children grow up before you marry?" He said, "Will you therefore refrain," verse 13, "from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." Please, let me just explain something here before we read further. For those who do not know, most of us may be aware of what she's talking about. The culture then is that if a man dies and leaves a widow, his younger brother will take over the woman. That's just the call. Or his brother, all right, younger or older, will take over his wife. There are many reasons for it, all right? One of the reasons in Israel was so that he can maintain the name of that that family, all right, that lineage. And if you read the Bible very well, you see that in Israel, names are lineage is very, very important, all right? They don't play with it at all. And so sometimes you can hear that this man, this is his son. If you look biologically, that may not have been his son. He may not have had any son while he was living, and his brother may have fathered that child in his name. In fact, if you read the story of Judah and his children, what happened was that the first one died, the second one died, all right, and the time that his daughter-in-law went and played the trick upon him was because she was waiting for the next child to grow up so that they will give her to the child as a wife, and then she will have children. And I was just telling Yinka the other day, one day I read it. You know why Judah didn't want to give the boy to her? He said that maybe the other boy would die also. Are you getting my point? But the fact is that why did they die? Did they die because of the woman? No, they died because of their own wickedness. When you are judging things in life, be very careful. All right? That just by the way. Now, so this is the concept here, all right? That is, this people have died, these girls must be settled. That is the second reason. You know, so there are a number of reasons. The second reason is so as to settle the women. You don't want a woman to be standing there as a widow without having somebody to take care of her. Look, what I'm telling you is just a matter of fact. You see, you have to understand in the Bible, when the Bible uses the word widow, it's not like today where the widow may be a multi-millionaires. Do you get what I'm saying? And then when you see the concept of widow in the Bible, she depends on her husband for everything. So if the woman was without a husband, all right, she was a vulnerable person, all right? And that's why the Bible used to fight for the widow. If you treated the widow wrongly, all right, God will come against you because you are treating her like that because you feel like she doesn't have anybody. And indeed, a lot of times they didn't have any presence. And just by the way, to help us understand the Bible, you know, we are doing Bible study, so we say many things so that we can learn a lot of things. Is that okay? Now, you remember this? There's one scripture we keep on quoting. When Paul wrote to Timothy that if any man will not take care of the member of his house, you understand, it wasn't an infidel. I explained that in one of the books, in two of my books actually, both Grace to Prosper and How to Work for God. Now, so women now tell their husbands, You must provide for the house. Now, listen. That is true, all right? A man should provide for his wife and his children. Do you understand my point? But there's one why a lot of women play in Nigeria that have not been to the rest of Africa, all right? But it's very common in Nigeria. The man works, the woman works, earns money, hides the money, and then points to the man and says, you must take care of him. That's stupidity. If I were the one, I'd say, okay, you are working for me, your body belongs to me. Anything you do with that, submit and vest. That's what the Bible says, actually, all right? But this is the point. It's a very stupid thing. You cannot get up in the morning, go and earn wages, come back home, and then point to your partner that he should bring his wages, settle everything. Then what are you doing with the one you are earning? Are you a Jezebel? Are you a devil? Are you Satan in human flesh? You know what I'm saying? There are things a woman should not do. I mean, come on, we're not going through that now, all right? But that's not Christianity. Now, this is what I'm making. Just by the way, all right? The fact is that both of you own everything. Who earns it is besides the point. The education of the children is the responsibility of both of you. Paying for house rent is the responsibility of both of you. But building a house is the responsibility of who? Both of you. But if he's the only one that goes out to earn cash, then it becomes his pure responsibility. You are partners in progress, not adversaries at home, living under the same roof. Human beings are very funny. You treat your wife and your husband as the two of you are fighting each other. Do you get my point? That's not Christian behavior. That is backsliding, idolatrous, you know, African that does not know God behavior. Are you following what my point? Christians don't behave like that at all. All right? Anyway, I knew this long ago. I was going to say, thank God my wife's not like that. She could not have been like that. If you were like that, I would not have married in the first place. So the chance of being like that is absolutely zero. The Lord is good. All right? Again, that's by the way. So I was going to explain something. So that scripture, we keep on quoting it. We quoted that a man should provide for his house. Now, it's true a man should provide for his house, but that's not what Paul was saying to Timothy. Read in my book, I don't have time to go into that. What he said to the woman was that, to the church was that, if you are able, let me give you an example now, you're working, you're in Enugu, you work for a good company, or you have your own business, and you're making money. Are you getting my point? And you have an auntie in the village, she's 60 years old. Do you understand the concept? Or you have a cousin, he's an orphan, no father, no mother now, but you are working, you may have a good business, or you earn a very good salary. That it is Christian, your Christian duty to provide for the widows of your household. And if anyone does not provide for the widows in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, if you now go down to the verse 14, the Bible says that they lifted up their voices and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. This is the point. Orpah got the point. Are you getting my point? She understood that she had a problem. She understood that she needed to solve her problem. But Ruth apparently didn't get the point. Now, please get what I'm saying now. It appears for now as if Ruth did not get the point. Orpah got the point that you are going to have troubles. You are going to have problems if you continue to follow me. But Ruth refused. Why? We'll continue reading that. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Please, I want you to understand something here. Her people and her gods. Everybody, please say that. Her people and her gods. Please, tie the two together. It will help us in this discussion today. Her people and her gods. Please, notice those two things. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. From where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Notice something here. It's the people first, and then their God. I'm coming to something, this is what I'm saying, all right? Now, it said, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus says the Lord, he said, thus may the Lord do to me and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. Now, there's a reason why I read this. Let me just continue to talk. We'll refer to some of the other scriptures. You know, last time or the last few times, we've been reading a particular scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 31, in which Joshua was called by Moses, of course, according to the commandment of God, that he will go ahead and help people inherit the land. That the people were supposed to inherit a land, and Joshua was going to ensure that the plan of God for their lives, all right, was fulfilled. Please, let me go back to something I was trying to say. I want to just bring this one. I'm bringing this one out today to emphasize that thing I've been saying for a while about the work of the believer. I've said it several times. Actually, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Is light. I said before that it has a yoke. It's just that it is easy. The fact is that the yoke of Jesus Christ indeed is easy. And if anything appears difficult in Christianity, it is because we are not doing it the way God said we should do it. Listen, I'm not saying life is easy and rosy and everything is sweet, sweet, small, small. You know what I'm saying? Everything just soft, soft, sweet, sweet in Christianity. I did not say that. The only thing I just said is that to the person walking through it, he does not see it as a difficulty. Let me explain something here. Because there are two sides to it. If you have ever driven or ridden, you know what they call a keke napep? That tricycle. It has only one cylinder. I think the engine has only one cylinder. And so it struggles and struggles. And you see the foolish Nigerians that we are oftentimes, they put five people, the driver and four passengers. That engine will die soon. All right? It will die. You can't pray it not to die. It will die shortly. It doesn't have that amount of power. I'm bringing an issue here. So when it's overloaded like that and it's climbing a hill, it's a very difficult thing to do. Are you getting my point? You see it struggling, smoking, sounding like it really is going to die. But then, you see, a Toyota Hilux, takes the same hill, fully loaded with more load, and does not even slow down to check whether the hill is 45 degrees or is flat ground. The guy just changes his gear to a lower gear and just picks up. I hope you're getting my point. Now, this is the point I want to understand all of these things, all right? When I say that it's easier, the work of the believer is easy, what I'm bringing out here is this. For the Hilux, what he's doing is easy. You know that? Why? Because it has the power. It is built to do that. But the other fellow is doing what is not built to carry. So when we're talking about something being easy, I am not saying you will look and the Christian life is just an rosy, sweet, soft life. To the person carrying the yoke of Jesus Christ, it is easy. Do you follow my point? I said something to us several times before, that we look at the faith of Abraham and we think that Abraham was struggling and suffering to sacrifice Isaac. I have studied enough to realize that Abraham had as much difficulty in sacrificing Isaac as a lot of us have in giving out a month's salary. The reason is simple. Because grace had been poured into his heart. Therefore, that grace carried him when he had to face the tough challenges of life. So when I say Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, I'm not saying Christians only do simple things. Are you getting my point? But what is difficult is only that it's only the person who's observing from outside that sees what you are doing as difficult. Therefore, a lot of people will tell their stories, all right? Say, look at how this man did this. You know, let me give this illustration as an example, all right? People say so much about Nelson Mandela, all right? And I look at it and I said, he's a very good man and a great man. But if you look at it, he was in jail most of the time. What does a man do when he's in jail? What can he do when he's in jail? Do you follow my point? Yet he came out of that because he made a few decisions here and there, and a lot of things came out. Not just, in fact, he was not the only struggling man. Are you getting my point? Many people struggled with him. Some of the convictions he held on to, all right, which seemed to have eventually produced results, he was not the only one that held on to them. Others died for it. Let me tell you the truth, This is just by the way. You can't celebrate human beings on the earth. You can't. It's God really that knows who's supposed to celebrate it. You look at that apartheid struggle, the real person, all right? That probably did most of the struggles, all right? Died long ago. They killed him, removed his head, shed his blood. But God gave to us somebody like Nelson Mandela as just a sign of what the struggle was, all right? And he would be a very foolish man. That's why I like the fact that the man is humble. He would have been a very foolish man to be raising his shoulder that, yes, we did it. We didn't do it. Those who did it, you don't know them. God does not always showcase those who really got the real results. He doesn't always do that. Are you getting my point? I'm not making an issue for us here, all right? So you see that when it comes to Christianity, all right, this is how it is. The person doing the work, that's why I gave that illustration, all right? You see the great results he's producing, and you celebrate the person. But he himself does not understand what is the cause of the celebration if indeed he's a person of understanding. Because Paul said, if you look at it from outside, I labored more than them all. He said, but look inside. It was not I. It was the grace of God working with me. Are you getting my point? So when I say that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, I'm not saying that the Christian work is just soft, soft, soft. But to the person who's going through trials and difficult times, indeed because of the work with Christ Jesus, he doesn't understand what the difficulty is. Do you follow my point? And listen, no, I keep on saying this. If you are taking a step of faith and it's foolish to you, there is a foolish step. It's not a step of faith. Don't do it.
If what they are doing looks stupid to you, it is indeed, before God, it is stupid. What am I trying to explain? The man who's really walking by faith does not see what he's doing as foolish. So Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. What happened then that those men were putting yoke upon people, or they had yoke placed upon them, that the people who placed the yoke did not give them the grace to carry? What am I saying? The things that we do are actually simple as far as we and God are concerned. Why that is the story of Ruth? I want to point out something to us again concerning how we walk and our faith will be great. Listen, we can sit down and wonder, how did Abraham come up with such great a faith? These are the things I'm discussing. I talked about how to increase your faith as part of our Faith Basics series. Now, I was emphasizing something in that verses 11 and 13. You see that what Naomi was doing was trying to get these people to focus on their own problems. I've been saying something to us for the last few weeks. The difference between spiritualism and spirituality. Can you remember that? And be careful when you see something works. There are things, you know, today I was studying from the book of 1 Kings chapter 15. Now, don't bother opening to it. And the Bible there described what Asa did. Now, please, try and follow me here. The king of Israel, Baasha, was the one that came and attacked Asa. And then Asa used a trick, an interesting method, to get himself free from that harassment. What he did was to send messengers to Ben-Hadad, all right, the king of Aram, and said, come and help me. Let's have an arrangement. I'm not going to detail about it. And then at the end of the day, the arrangement worked. When he struck a deal with Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, okay, Baasha left him. And after Baasha left, all the rocks and the stones, the wood, everything that Baasha had used to build the fortification against him, now became of good use to him. In fact, he built two cities from the things that those men gathered against him. And that was the end of the story. Now, for me, it was striking because I can't remember whether I've ever really noted this story from the book of 1 Kings chapter 15, the one I'm talking about now. Where I actually read it from before was 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 15, if you end it there, you will see that Asa did something. He used an interesting mechanism, negotiation, deals, and got great results and prospered as a result of it. And the story ended. Nothing more was said about it. A lot of us who just pick things from the Bible and teach people how to succeed, we will now use that one to teach the power of negotiation. We use that power, that one to use negotiation to get results and profit from the problems of the enemy and all of that. Read that same account in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. You will see that after he returned home, the prophet turned to him and said, shame on you. That because of this thing that you have done, from now on you will see wars. He said, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim, an immense army that gathered against you, and you called upon the name of your God, and he delivered you. He said, for the eye of the Lord runs through and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. He said, but now you have relied on the arm of flesh. From now on, you will see wars. And Asa did not repent. I'm going to have an issue here. Be careful of it. It works. Sometimes things that work only set you up for troubles later. Do you know, when I read that in this morning, I said, my God, if you only read this story here, you won't understand that God was absolutely displeased concerning the result that Asa got. Then you get home and read that story. Let me not go into it in details. Why did I tell that story again? So that you will remember not to just focus on, it works. There are things that are proper in Christianity. Let me get back to my Ruth story. Ruth was spoken to by Naomi. And he explained, and look, that's how life is. People will sit you down. If at your age you don't have land, you have problems. So, if at your age you don't have this, you know you have problems. So, actually, you know, I've heard a preacher say that a man who is 40 and does not have a house is cursed. Apparently, Paul was cursed all the days of his life. Yes, he must have been, according to that preacher. is not true. They tell you that, listen, no, hey, it's just advice I'm giving you. What am I not explaining? Once people succeed in focusing your attention on what you will get in life, they have just started leading you on the path of unbelief. Did you notice that Naomi took time out to persuade Orpah? You're not growing younger. You're not growing younger. Your mate will have settled in the husband's house. It's just a pity that your own husband died. Better go back home and go and focus on your problems. Settle down and see how to solve your own issues in life. After talking and talking and talking, she made sense to Orpah, and Orpah turned around and left. But Ruth did not. Listen to me. Once the devil cannot get you to be the center point of everything you are doing, you will walk far with God. That is why I told you before, spirituality. You wake up in the morning, your faith is about your house. It's about your money. It's about your job. It's about you, 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 you. You are not walking in faith. Listen to me, saints of God. You are walking in unbelief. The last 5 prayer meetings you went for, the whole discussion was your job, your money, your enemies, your house, your car, your room, this, you, you, you. Last 5 all-night prayer meetings. It's a sign that you are walking in unbelief. You're not walking with God. Jesus said, after these things the Gentiles seek. That was what Jesus said. After these things, the Gentiles pay all the attention of their prayers, they focus them on. I listened to Billy Akonin a few days ago and I was happy. Somebody gave me the messages some months ago. I just didn't get around to listening to it until the last few days. And the same thing I've been saying again and again, I was so happy to hear somebody, especially a senior man, say it. Hear it again. You know, I told you I would never stop saying it until everybody believes it. Christians who wake up in the morning and say, this offering is towards mine, they've just missed God. Once you take money, some God, as I'm giving this money, is towards this my new project. You have just missed God. As I'm giving this money, it's towards my car. You have just thrown money away. As I'm giving this money, it's towards the house I'm building. It's a lie. It gets nothing for you. This is how Christians give. As I'm giving this money, it's towards, then they describe the blessing the money is going to be in somebody else's life, or in the gospel of Christ's life, or in the life of somebody somewhere who needs something, or a project somewhere that's not about them. That's how people walk in faith. I told you, people can tell you, sow your seed, begin to water the seed every day. You want a car? You will take 5,000 naira. So this is say seed towards my car. I'm hereby planting it. And every day, you wake up and speak towards it. This car, you will give her. This car, you will give her. That is spiritualism. It is not spirituality. That is walking after the order of Asa as a conquered basha. Even though you get results, it is not the will of God that you got. You can harass God into giving you things he never had any plans for you to have. The Bible says they harassed God well in the wilderness. He gave them meat to meet their lusts. Who gave it to them? The devil? No. God in heaven gave them the meat that he was angry that they were asking for. And it was, as they were eating it, he vexed so much he threw away disease inside. I'm bringing out something here about the faith of believers. Now we look at Ruth and Orpah and said, why don't you sow a seed towards your future? Why don't you make concrete plans so that you'll be settled? Now this is the next point. Ruth looked at something bigger than herself. And I'm going to talk about that Naomi entity today. That's one thing I want to talk about today. But let's look at Naomi first, and then we'll see how it applies to our lives. We've been talking about that. Ruth looked and said, if I turned back, yes, I'll get a young husband who will not die. I will have children. I will be settled. But what happens to my mother-in-law, Naomi? She can't remarry. Even she has testified that she can't remarry. Who is going to take care of her? Will she not be the one fetching water for herself? She's going back home where she has nothing. Who is going to look after her? The more Naomi persuaded Ruth to think about Ruth, the more Ruth thought about Naomi. When the two of them were working with her, she had no problems. The moment Orpah left, she knew she could not leave. Maybe if Orpah had stayed, Ruth may have been tempted to leave. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? But when Ruth saw that Orpah was gone, he said, Nalayo, this woman will just suffer and die. So she said, no problem. Let me settle her first. Then leave myself to God. Now, notice something here. They asked Jesus Christ, which one is a great commandment? He said, what do you think? That man raised his shoulder and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all thy intestines, thy liver, the kidney. And Jesus said, that is true. That is the first and the great commandment. But there is one that's exactly of the same rank. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And John said, how can you say you love God that you have not sinned? Was it James that said it? But you don't show that love to the human beings that you can see. I always say, anybody that says I fear only God and fears no man is lying. He fears nobody at all. David feared only God. But when Nathan shows up, he arranges himself. Say, okay, any problems? You get what I'm trying to explain? Yes, that thing that you have in the realm of the spirit, the invisible realm, normally we see a manifestation of it on the earth. We do. I don't want to offend God. All right? But there are three people I'm also afraid of offending. One, my wife. Two, my brethren that sent me on this mission that I'm, this ministry work I'm doing. And three, the people I minister to. May sound funny, but I fear the three of them as much as I fear God. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. There are sins, if I commit against God, he will forgive. But I don't know how my wife will forgive it. That is, I don't want to put that demand, that pressure on her to forgive. Adultery is an example. God will forgive. What is this? Baba God, not vexed. Not pressure. Do you know what? He will understand. The Bible says he's mindful that we are but what? Flesh. But then, for the next 50 years, how do I expect my wife who trusts me with all her heart to rearrange her body? So that next time, when I'm talking to one woman, she could be fidgety. Right now, she does not give a damn. I like it like that. Are you getting the principle? I'm bringing an issue here. He said, she has gone back to her people and her gods. Her gods, those small, small idols. He said, no, you, your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. I'm bringing an issue here. When she focused her attention on Naomi, she discovered the true God. How did Cornelius find the true God? Because of his love for the people of God. Then God sent an angel to Cornelius. You are getting the point I'm making. Listen, the face of Ruth was amplified, all right, and glorified, if I may use that word, because of one thing. It was not focused on her. Listen, the reason why your faith will never increase is the only principles you know in life is how to get something for yourself. That is why you can't stand in the day of adversity. Why? Because there's no supply. Because God doesn't understand why you should put any supply of the Spirit there. There's no supply of the Spirit from God to hold you in the time of trials. I hope you follow what I'm saying. talking about Christians increasing their faith. What is the Naomi in your life? There are two things. As believers, you will see, let me just describe this. These are things you go after, all right, that are bigger than you, that amplifies your faith, and keeps you standing, and causes God to pour His Spirit into you. Number one, it sounds obvious, but I'll go to it. When Joseph, no, let me start, should I start from number two? Okay, let me start from number two. Thy people and thy God. All right, that's good. Let's start from number two. I say something all the time. You know, Nigeria can be a challenging country. You know that? The other day I was watching Pastor Matthew Ashimolo on TV advertising. They have one estate they are building somewhere around Lagos side. So he was describing, oh, my, he has two countries. One is Nigeria, one is the United Kingdom. And that what pains him is that every time he leaves UK to come to Nigeria, all the amenities and all the beautiful things, they vanish as soon as you arrive in Nigeria. So he and some people are developing an estate. So he's encouraging people to come and join them. I'm sure that will be for those who live abroad, actually, who are thinking about having UK in Nigeria when they come home. We're already used to the problems here, so you don't need Pastor Matthew to come and explain to us. You're not one of them to explain. Now, Brother Matthew understands, Pastor Matthew understands that when you come up for UK and land Nigeria issues day, as you enter the house like this, in fact, your children will think they went blind. If you raise children abroad and then they come to Nigeria and they wake up during the night, they're going to scream, "Daddy, doctor, doctor, I can't see again." You have to explain that, "No, baby, baby, it's not blindness. You have not seen the glory of God. No, 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 it's just NEPA." I heard the reverse gist some time ago about the man who carried the children and they went abroad. And before that, I heard the story in Sunday school that trying to explain heaven to children. In heaven, NEPA doesn't take light. Eh? The roads are good. Eh? Water flows all the time. Ooh, nothing spoiled. So the children learned it. And then they told them that, when do we go to heaven? After we died, if we die in Christ. Amen. All right, fine. Okay, nothing spoiled. Then one day, Bobo carry children and they go to America for holiday. Then after they arrive, no pothole, nothing spoiled. First day, they not take light. Second day, they not take light. Third day, light not come out. Then all the white, anytime they turn the tap, water they flow. Then the people, they had an arrangement, go meet their father, say, "Explain to us, when did we die? Was it when we were on the plane? Or when exactly? Because this one, we were in heaven." The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, this one I'm trying to make. So, you see, it really can be challenging. That's what I'm trying to make. And several times, it's happened to you, but this maybe, but it's happened to me definitely. Many times people have tried to explain to me. One day, a friend of mine called me from UK. He said, "So, Banky, when are you planning to join us?" I did not know how to explain to him that it's a very stupid question. He saw the challenges in Nigeria and he said, "Look, I'm going." And he left. Then about a year or two later, when they were speaking, I got on the phone, or he came around. "So, how far now, when are you planning to join us?" And I looked at him. I didn't know what to tell him, so I didn't say anything. I just said, "No, forget it. I'm not planning to join you guys." No, I just dismissed it. And my reason is simple. One young man, I was in the office and I was discussing with him, and he said, now I mentioned that one of my very good friends, some of you have met him before, Uche, that he's in UK and that he's a pathologist like I am. So he now picked a discussion from there. I said, "Do you think he's better than you are?" And I said, I couldn't get the point. What do you mean by better? Do you understand my point? What do you mean by better? In his practice, okay, you mean in practice. I said, "Again, what do you mean by better?" I said that he has more resources, more equipment, more skilled assistants and all of that to fine-tune his own skill and to help him practice that skill better. Most certainly he does. I said, "But does he practice those skills on my patients?"
Did you get that?
I said, what do you call better? That he serves people with him and those who can reach him? Of course he does. I mean, does it very, very well. But one thing he does not do is serve the people that I serve. And for the people that I serve, half bread is better than none. So if you are considering him and his satisfaction, and me and my satisfaction, that would be, we could be arguing who is better, who is not better. But let's leave those of us who are serving people. Let us think about those who are serving for a moment. I was in MD Anderson Cancer Center in Texas. And that day, the secretary of the department was showing me how to take the bus ride home, because when I first went there, my brother-in-law would drive over an hour to drop me at work. The very first day, I said, no, this boy cannot do this kind of thing. Let me try and find out how I can make my journey easier. All right? So that day, we're just gisting, waiting for the bus to arrive. So, of course, she's a pure white woman, Italian-American. Me and me, proper Nigerian. Black beyond measure. You understand my point? So she doesn't know anything about Nigeria. All right, so we used to chat. She asked me a lot of questions and everything. I went to explain to her how many pathologists we don't have in Nigeria. Do you understand my point? That we're counted by 440 million people. Before I told her the number of pathologists we had, I just asked her simply, just for comparison. I wanted to tell her that I'm sure in their institution there, they had as many pathologists as the whole of Nigeria. That this is one institution, MD Anderson Cancer Center. So I told her, that, how many pathologists do you have here? So she thought for a moment and said, about 100. No, I said, no, you don't understand. I mean, how many pathologists? I didn't say specialists. I mean, how many pathologists do you have in this institution? She said, you mean such path, cytopath, and all of that? I said, yes. He said, yes, I told you about 100. I said, what did you say? 100. I said, at that time, I said, the whole of Nigeria did not have 50. I was one of them. The whole nation did not have 50. And one building, one institution, had 100 in the U.S. I looked at her like, are you kidding me? He said, remember that I told you that we are, by maybe in a few months' time, we are moving from this building to another building that will house only pathology. I said, At that point, I told myself, I'm not coming to America. I'm going back home. Now, I'm going to have an issue here. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? Is it true that I'll earn 20 times the amount of money I earn in Nigeria if I were practicing in the U.S.? Yes, maybe it's true. Is it true that I'll drive finer cars? Yeah, most likely. Is it true that buying a house will be much easier? That is a matter of fact. But is it true that America has over 2,000 pathologists? And there are only 20 and something million people. And 140 million people that time did not have 50 comfortably, that they are sure it's not going somewhere tomorrow. Now, are you seeing the reasoning pattern? That is Naomi versus, you know, your person. Now, I'm not saying everybody must toe my line in that area. But you have to know what you are looking at in life. The first point is simple, all right? And this is a point that God has a purpose for your life, and faith is magnified as you recognize that fact and that purpose. First, that you know that he has a purpose, and two, you come to discover that purpose. That same time I was telling you about, when I was traveling, my friend said, Banky, are you sure you're going to come back? And I, when people say things like that, it actually bothers on annoying me. That, what do you mean? That means you don't know me. So I just, somebody who understood them spiritual things. So I said, my ministry day here. He said, okay, ministry day America too. I left the discussion there. My reason is that ministry is not just preaching. There are people you are supposed to preach to. I was watching Bishop Oyedepo this morning. I came down to just eat something, and I saw it was on NTA. So I sat down in front of the TV, and I was watching. Very powerful message. Very, very powerful. I've not heard Bishop as powerfully as that in a long time. It's a recent message. Very powerful. And he described when he knew he was going into ministry. And at the point in time, everything had was prepared. He wanted to go to U.S. to go out for other preparation and everything. And then he said it was cheap. It was 1,400 naira. That time. This was 1980-something. 83 or so. Then he went to the bush to go and pray. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And said, the thing that you are looking for from abroad, they don't come from abroad, they come from above. He now made a statement. He said, maybe if I had gone and stayed, say maybe I'll be driving a truck in America now. What am I saying? What one of the things that increases your faith? I wanted to start talking about this about 3 weeks ago. Maybe I've gotten there back there again now. Is for you to recognize that indeed you have a purpose. That's the one Naomi in your life. Ruth looked at her mother-in-law and said, if I leave this woman, you know, don't always think, in fact, don't think that God always has a replacement for you, because he does not always have a replacement. The mistake we make a lot of times, we think that God has a replacement. If Pastor Banky does not preach, somebody else will preach. Listen, it's not true. I wish you get to that point. There's a message I preach in a particular way that I preach it until my father resurrects, marries another my mother and gives birth to another me. Nobody will preach that message. And that might take God another 50 years to rearrange. That's why God said, don't just take the grace of God in vain. Be careful. Don't just, in fact, I was listening to Billy Akon. He said, God takes time to prepare people he will use. Therefore, if God has prepared you, be careful how you use the unction he has placed upon you. Because it took him a long time to prepare you for that job. Says so, be careful. Don't just get up as a preacher and be talking nonsense. I told the story of Asa for you to understand that. I've said something to you before, all right? That a lot of people you celebrate, you began to celebrate them after they miss God. I don't know where I get my point. It was, look, listen. Do you know the amount of songs to sing about Asa after that victory of 1 Kings chapter 15? People will say, this man is smart. He didn't have to fight. If some other kings now, they will say they are walking by faith. They will go and face Baasha. They will go and face... He was very wise. Point number two, know how to use your wisdom to negotiate even with your enemies. How do we know it is good? Because after Asa negotiated with his enemy, then Baasha ran away from him and he got all the goods of Baasha. Praise God. And we call it wisdom. I said, that man is too much. Many men will tell you that, Pastor Bank, just turn this into a church. You'll be amazed at how much you grow. And believe me, if I do, this, the devil is very good at that. Overnight, boom, explosion. From driving small cars to start driving big cars, people will be greeting you every Sunday. Sir, the Lord said we should just have, that's 250,000 naira, 1 million naira. And you say, praise God. You now start telling stories. There was a time we were struggling. Now we have moved into a breakthrough. You'll be smiling foolishly. And God will be shaking his head. Said, this guy just capped his lifespan. He's dying at the age of 54. He does not know. He will leave a nationally spread denomination behind, but I'll still kill him anyway. Of course, ignoramuses are celebrating. Praise God. My God, did you see how that man just exploded, just broke through? It's called the Asa versus Baasha, including Ben-Hadad phenomenon. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Yes. A lot of times we celebrate people because of the temptations of life they fell for. You can imagine that Opal got back home. As they arrive, one handsome rich man would just say, we don't talk so we marry us since. I thought you were going to Judah too. Next he marries her, builds her a nice house, she bores 3 children, and everybody say, praise God. She operated by wisdom. She knew when one season was over, and she allowed the season to end. So she moved into another season. We say all kinds of things, and say it works. Meanwhile, that's the end of Opa. You know, All you know about Orpah is that she married somebody, the person died, and she went back home. Period. But as for Ruth, the story of Ruth was told because of David. No, open to the end of Ruth. Quickly go back there. And you read the Bible, there are a few names that God called Jesus Christ. One of the names he used to call the Lord Jesus was David. A lot of people don't know. You hear of the sure mercies of David. Which one David are you talking about? It's not the physical David. It's Jesus Christ he's talking about. You hear him say that, thou will not allow thy Holy One to see corruption. And the disciples said, no, physical David saw corruption. That Holy One is Jesus Christ. That shows how much God valued the person called David. And why was the story of Ruth written? It was to show how David came to be. Read the last chapter of Ruth. The last few verses. From verse 18. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron. To Hezron Ram. To Ram Aminadab. To Aminadab Nashon. And to Nashon Salmon. Salmon to Boaz. And Boaz. And to Boaz Obed. And to Obed Jesse. And to Jesse David. That's the end of that book. That is honor. Are you getting honor explained? That is honor. Ruth married Boaz and had a son who had another son who now had David. I hope I didn't jump any step or include an extra step there. What's the point I'm making? How did she live forth the legacy? How did she live the life that God wanted her to live? Christians like to, I hear it all the time. Sometimes I get tired. Other times I wonder whether I'm not too insensitive. Other times I wonder whether I'm all right. Other times I wonder whether other people are all right. Yeah, and God spoke to me, and God spoke to me. And as I was talking, God spoke to me. I've heard people say God spoke to me things I don't believe. Do you understand my point? God spoke to me like that. I said, God doesn't smoke. Oh. How can you tell me God spoke to you? That kind of thing. But maybe he knows what he's saying. I don't know. God did not speak to Ruth. Christians like to hear voices. Do the things that are right. They don't want to do it. They want to hear voices. Pray and pray and pray until your spirit becomes quiet. You pray, pray, pray until the spirit wakes up from his slumber. Then you pray and pray and pray until he begins to remember what God wanted him to say to you. You pray and pray and pray and pray until he finally begins to say it. Hey. So a man comes and says, after we have fasted and prayed 48 hours, then the Holy Spirit spoke and you look at him. Jaguda. You should have just done what was right. Which one the Holy Spirit speak after 48 hours? It's not necessary. There are things that are right, there are things that are wrong. What's wrong with you? Ruth woke up, looked at her mother-in-law, and compassion for her mother-in-law led her into destiny. You get what I'm saying? I said before that Christian life, faith, all right, it's not just about, it's walking by love. He said, neither in Christ is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision profits anything. It is faith that works by what? By love. How did now a Ruth's faith get kindled? It got kindled by the fact that she was walking in love towards her mother-in-law, and she discovered her mother-in-law's people and then discovered her God. Then she woke up having a lot of eschatology in her brain, and it shall come to pass that a son shall be born and the son shall be called Jesus Christ, and that Jesus shall save the world. She didn't know all of that. Just said, this is my mother-in-law, must not suffer. That's all she understood. And that led her, do you follow my point, into actions that made her an ancestress of Jesus Christ. Many people knew about the coming of the Lord. They could tell you, in fact, some were so good they could almost calculate the time. But there's no record of their presence in the scriptures. Why? Because it is not intellectual knowledge of the will of God that takes him to the center thereof. No, it is about doing the right thing each time. God then leads you by himself into that center of his will. That's what it means by he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You are getting the point. You are getting the point. What are the Naomis in your life? Number one, I said, you must understand that your life has a purpose. You must. And when you are making decisions, you are doing things. I mean, I, of course, because I'm a preacher, I'm the one preaching, I keep using myself as an example. I made a decision recently. I won't tell you exactly why, but God led me. I mean, I won't tell you exactly what, but God finally led me, and I understood, this is the point, I understood the love of God for people. Then I changed certain patterns of ministry that I had. You will see the effects over the next few weeks and months, all right? Why? Because I just understood the love that God has for people. Not as if the Holy Spirit had to whisper. My son, banking. People hear all kinds of voices. But when you focus on the fact that, listen, I was created to be a blessing to the lives of people. You don't just jump up and move up and down anyhow. What the devil sold, all right, to Eve, that made Eve disbelieve God, leading to Eve disobeying God, because you can't disobey God until you disbelieve him, you will become wise. You will become like one of the gods. After he pumped her again and again in her mind, and she was swelling and swelling and swelling, swelling in her mind. Boom, my head burst. She chopped. That takes me to the next Naomi in your life. Simply, God. Are you getting my point? What I mean? That is, they looked at Joseph. Joseph, come. Nobody will know. I am the master's wife. Joseph says, okay, fine. My father thinks I'm dead. Nobody knows I'm here. But there is still one person who my daily work must please. Do you get my point? And he said, I cannot do this thing and sin against God. These two things are the Naomis in your life. If you focus on them, your faith will grow automatically. Do you know, there's something the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's what I'm bringing out. In all your ways, he said he will direct your path. Now, let me tell you something. This will help you as a believer. When it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, he will direct your path. We taught ourselves, and maybe you too have been taught like that. I was taught like that too, but I've been corrected. We think that God will now whisper. And because we hear people say, God said to me, God said to me, God said to me, God said to me. Please, don't worry about people who said God said to them. Whether he did or not is none of your problems. Is that okay? Sometimes you hear me quote somebody who said God said to him, don't even worry about that at all. Because what happens a lot of times is that people go and settle down and say, how come this God is not talking to me? We quarrel. You want to hear the truth? Most of those God said to me, nobody said anything to anybody. There's one man, if I'm thinking of him in my mind now. He punctuates God, his message with so many God said to me is that there are times he tells me things, he says things that I just say, now wow, God must like to talk. And as I was going that day, God said to me, how many leaves are there on that tree on the side of the road? And I said, Lord, I do not know. He said, good. So you shall not know the number of blessings that will come your way. I said, You needed God to say that. You know, they read the Bible. What's your problem? And as I got to the junction, and the Lord said, how many roads lead to this junction? And I began to count, and there were four. And then what? And the Lord said, blessings shall come to you from every direction. Because you are going to an office in the morning. Now, wow. Now, go, they talk like this. So when the God woke me up in the morning, I said, my son, what's today's date? I said, Jesus Christ. After a while, I told my wife, tell this guy to stop this thing. I'm getting angry. It's cross the way Christians talk. We like to talk. That is just Christian. It's just Christianese. It's Christianese. We just like to just yen, you know, just a yen, a gist. Say, bro, why you wear blue and white today? He said, the Lord spoke to me. As the color of the sky
and the color of the sun, so shall your clothes be. So I looked at my wardrobe, and I saw white the color of the sun, and I saw blue the color of the skies. Now I deck up in this color, according to the word of the Lord. You know, there's a joke I crack all the time. One brother looked at me, because he respected me. Chooks, that's his name, a younger colleague. He said, Pastor Banky, I said, what? Did God speak to you concerning the woman you marry? I said, yes, he did. He said, what? How did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. The bro almost fell down. I said, listen, my friend, until that day, I married the girl where I like. You hear so? Uh-huh. Harass me with God said to God spoke to you. Because God spoke to you, you think that your marriage won't have problems. One man said, if God really has to speak to you concerning the woman you married, then you know you're in trouble. Yeah, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because for you, look, if I added my own to it, it's one of two things. Either her name is Mary and she has gotten the kind of belay where you don't understand. Of which, without God talking, no normal human being will marry after that. No, think about it. They just say, hey, Sister Mary, how now? Just passing by. Just, ah, what's the happen? He said, I know, Brother Jukes, you won't understand. It's Holy Spirit. He said, Mary girl, look me in the face. I be like goat. No, you can't even say something that makes sense. I mean, even tell me say somebody raped you. That makes more sense. Which one is Holy Ghost in this matter? I mean, he did what a normal human being would do. But because he was a kind man, he said, before they stone this girl and kill her for nothing, let's just do it secretly. Then the Lord now had to speak. In fact, when we were in secondary school, we acted that play. The guy who acted Joseph, as the Holy Spirit finished speaking, at the angel finished speaking in his dream, the guy woke up and said, Holy Spirit, wait. He woke up. Like, which kind of thing? He just, Holy Spirit, be careful where the waka go. That is number one. Or like the man, I forgot the man of God now, the one here added to it. He said, God has to speak to you. He said it means that there's so much trouble ahead that you would deny God. Were it not that you would be able to remember that on a particular day, young men, remove the idols from your heart and marry and chase a godly woman. That's all. You don't need. Speak. Listen, I've been warning you. There are all kinds of voices. If you watch too many home movies, any girl that looks like Genevieve, Holy Spirit must talk. If you not talk, you will go record in voice. When they talk to somebody else, play them beside your own bed. I'm telling you. So when you say speak, look, all kinds of voices are floating. What you hear, listen to me. Look, you have a radio. Your radio can receive more than 1,000 different radio stations. If you add the shortwave and everything. What you hear depends on what? The frequency you tune. It's not God speaking. It's where your heart is. You know how many devils are yearning away in the realm of the spirit? When they wake up in the morning, talk. They're just talking away. There are angels that like to talk. And they are good people. Who, yeah, they are not talking to you. That's just the thing. When you tune their frequency, you will hear. There are times God is talking to somebody just to walk out past. Are you following my point? So stop shouting, God talk, he's talking, in quotes. You understand my point? What do? You tune your heart correctly. Take marriage as an example. How do you tune your heart? Stop talking unbelieving talk. No, in our village, they don't marry from there. That's unbelieving talk. No matter what God says after that, it's not God, it's devil. Because you tuned your heart wrongly. You tuned it according to the idols of a locality. God is on FM1. You're on shortwave. I know shortwave is not declared. Yes, that's why it takes you 6 days to hear now. You go tune.
And when you're a woman, you know how to tune wrongly. So I'm looking for a man who will take care of me as if you're a project. That is wrong tuning. You don't tune your radio upside down. I didn't hear that there's a Christian not talking nonsense. You know, I need a man who can take care of me. What are you? An assignment in life. You didn't read the Bible that you're a helpmate. Supposed to take care of a project. You and your husband, you know. In fact, he's a man that should say, I need a woman who can take care of me. If you understand my point. Yes, it's true. Because God said, I will make him a helper. Is that not so? How should you think correctly? Say, I'm looking for a man who's going somewhere in life. Who together we can do the will of God. My favorite scripture is Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He said, draw me unto you, let us run together. I said, you mind the man you can run with. That's true. You draw me after you, let us run together. That's how men marry. You marry a woman that you can run with. You marry a woman, as a woman, you're running a man who's going somewhere that you can understand. Even if you don't know it yourself, at least he seems like he knows where he's going. Don't be tuning, you know, use worldly system to tune. At the end of the day, they say, hey, praise God. After I prayed for 17 hours over the span of 4 days, and I always began to speak. He said, shortwave you are hearing. That's why it's so difficult. 14 hours over 4 days. You couldn't hear anything. Shortwave, if not FM, correct FM. No, boom. The light will come on, red light, stereo. You will hear God clearly. I told the brother, I said, listen, I fine-tuned my heart with a few things. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's number one. Number one. Number one. You don't love the Lord. What thing concerns me and you? You don't not love, not the love. You know, there are different loves of the Lord. There's love of the Lord is, hey, when you're in church, I just worship. We just worship. That one, I have seen. Look, you can't shambala man, 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 bim, 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 baby. That one doesn't concern. Listen, it's when you have not seen home movies. That's when those things will impress you. You never watch home movie. Who doesn't speak in tongue in home movie? Everybody does. Like, come on, rubbish. That one doesn't impress me. You join choir, you can sing. Listen, Whitney Houston was a choir girl. She go marry Thug. No bizzo. So that one doesn't impress me at all. Look, 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 look. We're talking about loving the Lord is loving the word of God. Is loving the word of God. When the word of God can correct you. That's the thing we're talking about. When that's the primary goal of your life. That's what we're calling loving the Lord. I'm not boy without my fine-tuning of my own ears. When I don't fine-tune myself well, the moment my wife said, please, can I talk to you? I looked and said, no. Holy Spirit has sent me to this place today. That was the first day we met. After that, I thought, there was something somebody said once. I said, one thing I like about Banky that is very, very sincere. After that, I changed my mind and said, behave yourself. It was one sister, Ijeoma Udoku. That was Idoku. Anyway, IJ. She was the one that persuaded me after that. I was just gisting with her after that. I just said, Pastor Banky, how far? I met one sister today. What's her name? What's her name? I said, that was the last two. When I mentioned the name, Ufoma, to her, she went on assignment. She will phone me. I said, IJ, easy now. This was a joke. He said, Pastor Banky, I'm coming first. Cut the long story short, yeah. Anyway, I decided to follow Ijeoma's lead. That was how I decided to follow my wife up. Now I will come married today. No, I like to tell this story so that you stop feeling unspiritual. I'm a spiritual man. That's why you are here. If I wasn't spiritual, you wouldn't be here. Listen. The things that clog your ears. Because and I'm very happy my wife is not from my own part of the country. I'm from Ondo State, she's from Delta State. Not because it doesn't matter to me, right? I could marry from anywhere. But I like the fact that we are a bit far apart. So that I can have boldness to talk. Are you getting my point? So it's all those fine things. They say, where? She's from this place. No. You know, women from that area, they are very difficult. They like to run their husband's lives. You forget that if any man and woman be in Christ, she's a new creature. And wherever she's from is besides the point. She loves the Lord. She's a good woman. If you hear all kinds of tuning of ears I've heard, people just, spiritual people just make a statement. I want to marry from this area. I say, why? Because the men, they know how to take care of their wives. Anyway, those are childish talk. We don't talk such things anymore. I like to tell this story because you know you've been praying for 4 days and God has not answered. That's why he has not answered. They wanted you to come today. Let me talk to you for him. The woman is a godly woman. You will like her. What do you remain? What stops me from being baptized? Seeing that I'm in the midst of many waters. That was a question that the Ethiopian eunuch asked. He did not say, has God spoken that I should be baptized? Did he say, sir? You preach the gospel. I have believed it. See water here. What do you remain? In the same manner, you are a single bobo. You see nice sister. She is holy and spiritual. And I'm going to check my spirit. Listen, while you are checking your spirit, okay, sit down. Anyway, forget that side. The Lord is good. Call my message. I think that you'll be happy because God spoke to you. You know Joseph, eh? They didn't even let him pray. I just gave him a wife. Take! So, it's not the world, it's your spiritual gymnastics that we're talking about. Let me say, look, my time has gone. I now have to end my message. Look at you now. You know, once you get to that area, my boss no go let you rest. Though. They go draw the thing from your spirit like this. You can't get away. Anyway, this is what I'm trying to make. That's Naomi. Sorry, Ruth focused on the right things. Are you getting my point? And then she was led without her trying into the path of destiny. How Satan tempts us is to turn everything. And we use all our faith for ourselves. When we want to sow our Jaguda offering, it's towards our own needs. That's not Christian giving. I keep on saying it. I will say it until everybody has heard it. And then after that, until everybody believes it. Do you get my point? If you stretch your faith toward that which is good, you will see your faith rise. If you understand that your life, all right, has a purpose. Let's say you are creating a business, creating an enterprise. First, identify a need. Do you get my point? Yes, identify a need. I don't want to talk about that now, but there are two things you look for there. A need and a skill. That is something you can do, something people need. Those two things, put them together, and as a Christian, be faithful. Go after a good name. What did I say? You go after a good name. With those two things, believe me, if God needs to specially create demand so as to make you prosper, he will. I've discovered in life, as a matter of fact, people prosper, Christians, because God said prosper. And before God says it, he wants to be sure you have identified these things. It's not about what is making money now. You made me read this book. What's the name of the book? Outliers. And that man explained that, listen, this is the point I'm making. Let me use my own words. He explained that seasons come and pass. And in certain seasons, certain people prosper, even though they did not plan for it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there are people that all they are doing, and let me give a practical example. Imagine that you were marketing olive oil. You've been marketing olive oil for a while. Then Pentecostals just enter Nigeria. You know, say so you don't reach with that. Those days in winners. In fact, today in winners. You can imagine 100,000 people buying a bottle a month. Can you be poor again? You'll be praying for bishop that he mustn't die. In Jesus' name. You'll be praying for the church to prosper. There were people who were selling books in Lagos. There's nobody they buy. Then Bishop Wedekpo began to preach about the importance of reading. He will say, this week, these are the 3 books you are going to look for. The whole of Lagos, if you stock those books, you've made it. We'll be going from shop to shop. Please, do you have angels on assignment? Do you have this book? Do you have? He didn't write them. He's not marketing them. He just said, everybody read them. That's it. You know Oprah Winfrey? You know, we mentioned her earlier. Those are the ones she used to do book review. Once she reviews your book, you are rich. Oprah just says, you know, in fact, let me give an example. The day Barack Obama went to this summit of the Americas, and this what's the name of this socialist man in South America? What's his name now? Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez got up and went across to Obama and gave him a book that he should please read. I've forgotten the name of the book now. Overnight, that book became the number 2 selling book on Amazon. This was a book that the author didn't make anything from, maybe. Then Hugo Chavez, in the world's view, everybody looking, he took the book to prove to Barack Obama that you guys have been doing the rest of the world evil. He took the book to Barack Obama and gave it to him. He said, "Oga, read this book." And Obama took it, laughed, shook his hand, and that kind of thing. Overnight, Amazon, see order. Everybody wanted to read the book that Hugo Chavez gave to Barack Obama. Barack Obama wrote book. Who buy him? Nobody. Then he won the election as senator. People say, "Where did the book, where this boy write that time?" They begin by. Then he wrote the second one and then won the presidential primaries, Republican Party and Democratic Party. That's it. Even in Nigeria, you see posters in front of shops. Barack Obama's Dreams for My Father and Audacity of Hope sold here. I mean, I got text messages and emails telling me that now we have in stock Audacity of Hope and Dreams of My Father. And my friend came from UK to visit that time. I saw him with the 2 books. I said, "Read and finish, give them to me." That's why I get my own copy. Seasons come and they do what? They go. What am I going to explain? You can't run after wealth and get it. No. It's when God breathes the thing upon you. I talked about Ruth. Her faith was not because she was laboring for faith. Our faith was working through what? Love. In whatever you are doing, that must be your watchword. It must be your watchword. And God will use that one to lead you into places. I will never forget what Pascal Dozé said. When they were selling the GSM licenses that time, and MTN bidded, and Econet and the other company that was not giving it to, that did not pay and they took it from. Anyway, four companies, MTN included, got the licenses, and they paid $285 million. And Hakim Bulosaki said, at $285 million, that no company will make money for a long time. And they asked Pascal Dozé, he said, "It's not about making money." He said, "Nigeria too should have GSM." Do you get the point? I'm not judging the rest of his life or anything, but that statement, somebody quoted it for me, I can never forget. That Abba, we too should progress. You know, one of the problems I think America is having right now is the economic crisis. This is my personal persuasion. The government encourages people to be running all over the world for cheaper labor, so that the company can be making money. They will be sacking their people and running abroad. Nobody says anything. Now all the jobs have run to China. Now they are borrowing money from China. Because what can we get? Listen. Don't let a worldly economist teach you how to do business, telling that love is not involved in business. It's not true. Henry Ford became Henry Ford because he looked and said, "Why can't people who make cars drive them?" Henry Ford became Henry Ford because he said, if I sell you a car, why should it spoil overnight? He was the one that said all this warranty and everything. Putting shops everywhere to keep his cars running. He said, "If you buy a car from me, no, it shouldn't spoil." He prospered. And those who worked with him prospered. Because that's what he wanted. John Johnson said, "I never tried business to become rich." The idea is just that, look, the black man should be told that he's a person. He became a billionaire. Do you get my point?